It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome back to the table. We just thank you so much for joining us. And it's incredible because we get to sit at the feet of Christ right on the radio. And I'm very excited about this. Connie Stanfill is our wonderful, wise Bible teacher. And she's going to bring us to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 6 today. Connie, what will we be learning about today?
Well, we're going to hear the account of the last time Jesus went to Nazareth and how he was received there or not received well. And then how he's going to send out his disciples to go and do what he's been doing. So I'm going to read our Bible lesson first, and then we're going to talk through some of what's going on and what that might mean for us. So this is Mark 6, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 13. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who were with him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went out about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money or in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that the people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Let's go back to the beginning of the chapter here. We find that Jesus has gone back to his hometown of Nazareth. And then on this Sabbath, he's going to go into the synagogue and teach. This is the first time, though, in Mark that we find his disciples followed him. And so it sounds like it's an official visit. He's going as the rabbi with his disciples, and he's going into the synagogue, and he's going to teach. And what's going to be interesting is seeing the reaction of the people who knew him from a small child on, who had seen him grow up, who knew his family, who knew his background, his origin. And so it says, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things?" Meaning his teaching. What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? So they're acknowledging that he's speaking and teaching with a certain authority. He's got a wisdom that they've seen something special about it, and they've heard the accounts of him doing miracles. But their questions are, where is he from, or how did this happen? And then they say, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And so they remember that Joseph was a carpenter, and that Jesus also is a carpenter. Actually, the Greek technically means builder, and so he might have been a builder in stone, but he's a builder. And then it says, the son of Mary. And actually, this is an insult, because in that culture, he should have been called the son of Joseph. And to ignore Joseph and call him the son of Mary is maybe even an allusion to perhaps gossip or talk of illegitimacy, but they are definitely insulting Christ right here by saying the son of Mary, because that is not how it would have been talked of someone. You would have been the son of Joseph. And then it says the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. And so we find out from this account that Mary and Joseph had at least four other sons. And we do know that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was a leader in the early church, and he's the one who wrote the gospel, the epistle of James. And then we also think that this Judas, who's listed here, also is his half-brother that's known in the New Testament, and he has written the epistle of Jude. And interestingly, when you read both of those epistles, they are both very humble. They just talk about being a servant of the Lord. They never mention being the half-brother of Jesus, because they know he's their Lord. Okay, and then we also find out that he had sisters. And then the verse that just really wraps up this whole summary is, and they took offense at him. And because of their unbelief, because of their skepticism, because they were blind to his true identity, they could not recognize or attribute his teaching ability, his wisdom, his miracles to God, because they could only see him as someone they knew, someone from the hometown, an ordinary man, just a man. And that meant they took offense, which the Greek really is scandalozome, which from which we get our word scandalize. And so the true meaning of that word is to be caused to stumble, to be repelled. And so they stumbled over the truth of who Christ was because they refused to believe who he was. In 1 Peter, Peter recounts something from Psalm 119 and talks about how, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. And so the people of Nazareth, because they couldn't see beyond knowing about Jesus from his growing up time, have now taken offense at him and chosen to not believe in him. And so they cannot acknowledge him as who he is, as the Messiah, as the Son of God. From this account, we never find that Jesus ever went back to Nazareth. He then went out to other small towns and cities and preached. Another aspect of this is understanding that the disciples were there with him, and they saw Jesus experience this rejection. And as those disciples who are with him and close to him, and they're going to be doing what he does, this also was a picture for them of some of their reception, because they will not be accepted by all people. They also will be rejected by some. And that leads us into the second part of our study for today, and that's in verse 7, when it says, he called together the 12, meaning the 12 disciples, and he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And so the Lord Jesus gave them a ministry to do, and they were sent out in groups of two as a pair and to help each other. And they were given the power, the right to cast out evil spirits, and they're going to heal people, and they're going to preach the word of repentance. And then it says, he charged them not to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And so it seems in this sending out of the Lord, he wants them to be completely dependent upon God. They're not to be supplied with resources or money. Everything they do, God will need to provide for them. And also everything they do is going to be done for God's glory and actually through the power of the Lord Jesus. It's not going to be on their own power. And then in verse 10, he says, and he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. That was kind of a cultural thing. The Jews, sometimes when they left a Gentile area, would shake the dust off their feet and kind of in disdain or to cleanse themselves. But the Lord is just saying, when you leave someplace, you've given the message of the kingdom of God. You've told them they need to repent, that the kingdom of God is coming. And if they reject that message, when you leave, you're just saying you've done your duty, and God will judge them as he sees fit. And then verse 12 says, so they went out and proclaimed that the people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So this is incredible. Jesus' followers are now doing what Jesus did or has been doing. They're preaching, they're healing people, they're casting out demons. And it shows that his power and authority is more than just what his person has. He can also send out his disciples with that same type of power and authority. As we work through Mark here, we're going to be seeing again and again that to be a disciple of Jesus means to be with him, to learn from him, to know him, to be like him, to do what he does. And as he was always perfectly about doing the Father's will in business, so that's what his disciples are going to be doing too. They're going to be about his Father's will in business. And so we as followers of Christ, may we also draw near to Jesus and then go out and do as he would call us to do.
Amen. And that's what this is all about, ladies. It's about being discipled here at Naomi's Table. And we hope that this lesson has been encouraging to you. There are a lot more verses for you to dive into to understand what you've just learned. And those are in the assignment section. And you can go and download those, plus this 10-minute podcast over at naomistable.com. We hope you do that. And by the way, you can use these for your own Bible studies. Gather some women around your table and do these studies together. It's a great way to be in His Word and at His feet. Well, we're going to talk more about this when we come back.